Welcome, Hoops fans, to another electrifying episode of our Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast, where anticipation meets strategy and young talents prep for a leap into basketball greatness.
My name is Matt Hanifin. With the draft night just around the corner, the basketball world is buzzing with speculation and excitement. Who will be the number one pick this year? Will there be any shocking trades or unexpected decisions that surprise fans and analysts alike? It's the time when dreams become reality and future superstars are shaped.
Let's dive into the top prospects that everyone has their eyes on. These young athletes have shown incredible potential and are ready to make a big splash. Just imagine the electrifying dunks and game-changing plays they're about to bring to the court. Each team is on edge, plotting strategies, making moves, in hopes of securing the next cornerstone player who could lead them to a championship. Are you ready for the wheeling and dealing and potential blockbuster trades that can reshape the NBA landscape? And of course, we can't forget the fans, the backbone of the league. It's your passion that fuels the energy of draft night. Your cheers, predictions make this journey even more thrilling. What are your thoughts? Do you already have a favorite pick for your team? So buckle up, basketball enthusiasts, because the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast is set to be a night of surprises and opportunities. Stay tuned as we keep you updated with every leap, pass, slam dunk leading up to this monumental event. Let the countdown begin with your host, A Digital Adele, and my co-host,
Matt Hanifin.
Welcome to Fadeaways on Figueroa, now part of the 224 Podcast Network. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. It's been a minute since I put out an episode of Fadeaways. Last episode, Lakers were still in the playoffs against the Timberwolves. Unfortunately, that ended badly. And I think I let my personal feelings towards how the season ended get into my podcasting. I just didn't really have it in me to put out an episode between work and family and stuff. But we're here. We're back. We're going to talk a little bit of Lakers basketball. And really the reason I'm here is this is for all intents and purposes an emergency pod to talk about the Buss family selling the majority stake in the Lakers. Sounds like the reported value of that deal is $10 billion, which I believe the most recent sale of a team, at least an NBA team, was the Celtics, which had a sale record of $6.4 billion. And this Lakers deal just blew that deal out of the water. $10 billion for majority stake in the Lakers. Not a ton of information right now. The sale of the team, of the majority ownership in the team, went to Mark Walter, who is the CEO of Diversified Holding Company, TWG Global. It says Jeannie Buss will continue to serve in her role as Lakers governor, per sources. Walter has interests in multiple professional sports organizations, including the Dodgers, the Sparks, the Billie Jean Cup, Cadillac Formula One team, and the Professional Women's Hockey League. Just some history. I mean, I'm sure all you guys know this, but the Lakers had been owned by the Buss family since 1979, which is when Jerry Buss purchased the franchise for $67.5 million, which actually included both the Lakers, the Kings, and the Forum. And then after Jerry Buss passed away, the team was passed down to the family with Jim Buss and Jeannie Buss and everybody kind of taking over. And I don't know that I knew this, but Walter has been a stakeholder in the Lakers since 2021. So he's been around, he's been involved with the Lakers. So this isn't this feels out of the blue. I don't think that anyone, at least myself, didn't expect the Lakers or the Buss family to sell the Lakers anytime soon. Maybe I'm just not paying attention. Maybe Jeannie has talked about this, but in some ways, like maybe I kind of get it. Like at a certain point, like Jeannie, I mean, she's still doing great and stuff, but she's older than you think she is. and maybe she just wants to kind of have her hands clean and kind of be done with it. Maybe there's more to come, more news. Maybe there's some things about LeBron we don't know. Like, who knows what's going on? I'm sure there's going to be more stuff coming out about the Lakers and the Buss family and stuff. My assumption is that Jeannie Buss, I mean, in this article I was just kind of reading through, it says Jeannie Buss will continue to serve in her role as the Lakers governor. My guess is she'll continue to do that until the sale is final. I wouldn't imagine that Walter is paying $10 billion for a majority stake in the Lakers just to let Jeannie Buss continue running the team as governor. So my guess is he will take over or assign somebody else. More to come. This is just an emergency pod to talk about some huge news happening. I mean, $10 billion for the Lakers makes sense. Lakers are by far one of the most well-known, famous, popular sports franchises in the history of the world. So makes sense that it would be more than the Celtics, and honestly, significantly more. I mean, the Celtics are a great NBA franchise, but I think Boston is considered a smaller market than Los Angeles, and you can go through many reasons why the Lakers should be valued more than the Celtics, but $10 billion, pretty crazy, and kind of interesting. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think in a lot of ways, I think this is a positive for the Lakers. I think Jeannie Buss has done some great things. She was involved in bringing LeBron to the Lakers, which is awesome. The Lakers won a championship with that. They made a big move to bring in Anthony Davis, which obviously led to a championship. But since then, the last 5 years have been kind of stagnant. We've had some downs in that we traded for Russell Westbrook and we're just not very good for a while. Then we moved off of that. We made the playoffs, made the Western Conference Finals, got swept. We've dealt with injuries with LeBron and Anthony Davis, which has obviously been tough. I think like my thing is trading away a lot of the big pieces in that championship winning team from 2020 has always been a big consternation for me. And at the end of the day, like, you can blame Pelinka, you can blame LeBron in some ways, but I think you also have to put some blame on Jeannie Buss as well. And the one thing with the Buss family is, for the most part, they've been willing to shell out money and trade assets to bring people in. You can argue whether or not the right trades have been made, right? Like that Russell Westbrook trade, for instance. I just don't think that should have happened. I think there's Russell Westbrook stands out there that will argue that it's not Russell Westbrook's fault, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, looking at the facts, the year before that, the Lakers played Russell Westbrook in the playoffs, in the bubble, and he was awful. They were leaving him wide open for threes. He was missing defensive assignments. He was blowing layups. He was making a lot of mistakes. Not to say that he's the only reason that the Rockets lost against the Lakers in those playoffs, but he was not good. And so, like, to look at that and be like, oh, this is Russell, like, the Russell Westbrook of that series back in 2020 was not the same Russell Westbrook at OKC, for instance. And to see how he was against them, to have game planned against him, and then to still go and be like, oh yeah, I think we're going to trade for him. And I've talked about this many, many times on this podcast, so I'm not saying anything you guys haven't heard before, but just reiterating the fact that, like, you saw that, and then as an organization, which Jeannie Buss is leading, decided that we should trade away championship contending assets in KCP, and I'm blanking on Kyle Kuzma. Not to say, I mean, again, Kyle Kuzma, maybe he's not like, wasn't the strongest championship contending asset, but like KCP was big. Moving off of Alex Caruso was a big deal. I mean, he's in the finals now. So I don't know. I just think like that big thing that trade was a big situation. And yeah, they're trying to bring in a big name, Russell Westbrook, a big asset, but not the right move. And so not to say, I mean, Jeannie Buss and the Buss family are not they're not terrible owners. They're not Artie Moreno with the Angels, right? They're willing to shell out cash. They're willing to do what it takes or what they think it takes to have a winning team. And I appreciate that. And I have appreciated that. So shout out to the Buss family for that. However, I do think with the way things have gone the last 5 years where, I mean, I guess I'm like forgetting. I still forget that the Luka trade happened. I forget that we have Luka Doncic, even as I'm saying this. Like, and in some ways, like, I don't know how instrumental Genie was in that trade, if that just kind of fell in the Lakers' lap or what. So, like, I don't know how much true credit you give Genie for that trade. But you do bring in Luka Doncic last season, which is a huge deal, and sets up the Lakers really well for the future. So it's not like we've been dealing with owners that are – I talk about the Lakers being stagnant the last 5 years. That is true to a degree. Obviously, the Luka trade kind of changes things, right? Like, that's anything but stagnant to go out and trade for a top three player in the league and now trying to make moves to build a roster around that guy. Like, that's not stagnant, so I get that. But I don't know. I think, like, there's just been some decisions made by Genie and the ownership that have been questionable. And I do believe that they have the organization's best interest at heart. I don't doubt that. It's just a matter of, like, are they making the same decisions that I would make? And not to say that I should be the governor of the Lakers, although, like, maybe that would be a cool job. But, like, the Russell Westbrook thing is a big thing for me. Like, I just think I can't get over it, because you took a championship-level team, a team that had literally just won the championship. You actually improved that team, I think, in a lot of ways by bringing in Marc Gasol the next season, bringing in Montrezl Harrell? I'm, like, blanking on names. Montrezl Harrell. That next season, like, they were actually, I think, probably in a lot of ways a deeper team even than they were in 2020. But you had some injuries. I think Anthony Davis got hurt. I think, was that the season that LeBron also had an injury for a long time? So you end up in the play-in tournament. You're playing the Suns. Anthony Davis gets hurt in, what was it, like game three? I think game three or game four. Lakers were kind of ready to take control of that series, and Anthony Davis gets hurt. And then from there, you blow the team up. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And that's something that it's hard to forgive as a fan, right? Where it's like, you had a championship contending team for a couple seasons, and just because it ended poorly after a season, you know, I don't know. I think it's just a little disappointing. And obviously, like, all that stuff is in the past, and we're in a different situation, and that situation led us somehow 4 years later to Luka Doncic, which is crazy. So it's hard to be too upset, I suppose, but it is also hard to forgive blowing up a championship winning team so quickly and so easily. And I don't know, maybe I don't know the ins and outs of what was really happening behind the scenes and in the locker room, player relationships with each other, with the front office and all that stuff. Maybe those were just things that had to be done. I highly doubt KCP was secretly requesting a trade, but, like, maybe that's what's happening, you know? You can give benefit of the doubt for sure. And, again, I'm not a Genie Buss hater. I'm not a Buss family hater. I think, for the most part, they've been, a large part, have been insanely great for the Lakers. So a lot of love for Genie and the Buss family and everything that they've done for the Lakers organization and so many Lakers championships are thanks to them, you know. And I mean, obviously a lot of it is Jerry Buss. And since Jerry Buss passed away in 2013, the Lakers have won championship in 2020. And I think, what is it, two? You have the Western Conference Finals appearance in 2020 and the Western Conference Finals appearance in 2023. So in 12 years since he passed away, you don't have a lot to show for, and this is talking Lakers standards, right? Lakers standards are winning championships and at least contending for championships every season. So you look at it, you take a step back and you look at things, and yes, things got better when Genie took over in that, what was that, 2017, 2018 time frame, if I remember correctly. Things definitely started looking up. Obviously, we bring LeBron in in a couple years win a championship. But then since then, things have like went downhill. They've gone up a little bit, gone down, you know. And that is, I mean, that's sports for you, right? Like you can't realistically expect like things to just be great all the time. Like teams have ups and downs for sure. But I think in some ways, like I'm a little optimistic about getting some new faces and new. And I know Mark Walter has been around the program. He's been around the organization since 2021, so for four seasons now, which is good. He's not brand new, but I think it's a good mix, right? He's been around the organization. He's been involved for a few years, and now he can take over, and hopefully he has a nice vision for the team. And sounds like a guy. I mean, if he's involved in the Dodgers at all, then he's not a guy. He's not afraid of shelling out cash for good players. So so I appreciate that, and hopefully he's the same. You know, I don't know what his level of ownership with the Dodgers is, but if he's at all involved in how the Dodgers are run, then I'm happy about that. So that's the big news. That's what we're talking about here, the emergency pod, to talk about the change in ownership for the Lakers. It's just crazy. I mean, my entire lifetime, the Buss family has been practically synonymous with the Los Angeles Lakers, and kind of crazy that won't be the case. Not to say that, I mean, maybe the Buss family will hold on to a minority stake in the team. Maybe Jeannie will stay involved in some ways. So not to say that they're completely off, just stepping away from the team. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what other news comes out about that. But yeah, crazy to have the Lakers without the Buss family as the majority owners of the team. And kind of excited for the future, excited to see what happens. And I think that kind of leads me to my next segment, which is just happenings with the Lakers. Obviously, that's the biggest one. But there's been a lot of trade rumors flying around. You have, obviously, we bring in Luka Doncic. We trade away Anthony Davis, so we don't have a solid big man to complement Luka at the moment. And I think that was a struggle for the Lakers against the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves turned out to be way more physical than the Lakers. The Lakers' size, while I did think that the size across the board of the Lakers would at least help them keep up with the Timberwolves, ultimately I think just the physicality of the Timberwolves was too much for the Lakers. You didn't have that big man to really help protect the paint, protect the rim, all that kind of stuff. And so if I'm the Lakers ownership, if I'm Pelinka, number one on my list is a big man for the Lakers. And there's been some rumors about Walker Kessler. There was a rumor today about, and this isn't a big man, but John Collins. So at this point, it's all just kind of rumors. I think Walker Kessler would be awesome if we could find a way to bring him in. And I think at this point with the Lakers, like there shouldn't really be any players that are untouchable outside of Luka. Even LeBron. I mean, I've been saying this for a while. Like since, I don't know, 2021, 2022, LeBron, I like LeBron, but there's no reason that he shouldn't be tradable as well, as long as they can do it. I don't know where he's at with like no trade clauses and stuff, but outside of Luka, I don't think anyone's off the table. For a while, I wanted to hold on to Austin Reeves, and I like Rui Hachimura. And maybe it's just the way that things have been set up roster-wise that they haven't been able to figure it out, but there's just something missing. Like, Austin Reeves was just – he struggled so much against the T-Wolves in the playoffs. And I think one of those games – was it one of those games that he was dealing with some injury or a sickness or something? But or maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was just Luka that was – I think he had, like, a stomach bug or something. But – I don't know. I mean, I like Austin Reeves. I don't know. I just don't know that I like Austin Reeves as the third option on a team. Maybe Austin Reeves is better as like that Manu Ginobili sixth man type player, first guy off the bench. Obviously, big man, from a big man standpoint, there aren't a ton of great big men on the free agent market. I think I've seen people throw like Brooke Lopez's name around, which, I mean, better than nothing, I suppose, but not the ideal big man. I really think Walker Kessler is the ideal from what I've seen of him. He's a, you know, obviously he's a big guy. He can be a lob threat. He's a rim defender. He's a rim protector. He's a good defender. He can finish near the basket. I think he's, and he's young too. So you're trading for him is a long term, in theory, a long term investment. So I like that idea. I haven't seen too many other rumors for big men from the Lakers. That was kind of the big one that's been thrown around recently. So we'll see what happens there. But I mean, sounds like there's going to be some big NBA news dropping in general between Kevin Durant. He's requesting trades. He's been wanting to get out of Phoenix, and it sounds like Phoenix is out on the Kevin Durant business. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, crazy things happen in the NBA. I mean, it's always, this time of year is always fun. Even though the NBA is not happening, you get some big trades. Eventually the free agent market's going to open up, and that'll be fun too. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully the Lakers can bring in a solid big man. That's top of the list for sure. John Collins could be big. That could be a great trade, depending on what's involved there. Obviously, like, I'd rather utilize draft picks to bring in a solid big man. So we will see what happens there. Otherwise, the big news really is this selling of the team, which is crazy. It's just crazy to even say that the Lakers are being sold, that the Buss family is not going to be majority owners anymore. So we'll see what happens. I'll try, and my goal is to, I would love to be doing weekly podcasts here. I think it's tough in general to do weekly in the off season. Just maybe I'll do every other week. We'll see. Maybe I can do weekly. Maybe some big news will start dropping and we can talk weekly. That'd be awesome. But anyways, I appreciate you guys so much for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fadeaways on Figueroa. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review and share on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or most places you get your podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh!